This is the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors meeting, Tuesday, March 23rd, 2022, special meeting by Zoom at, and I call this meeting to order at 5:33. Roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Here.
Director Booth?
Here.
Director Frumfeller?
Here.
Director Karcher?
Here.
Director Olson?
Drop off?
No, she's still there. Director Olson, you're on mute.
No.
Maybe?
Can you unmute?
Yeah, I'm looking. Let's see here. Our O phone. There we go. Rhonda, are you there? You're off mute now.
Rhonda?
Okay, I'm gonna put her as a no. Oh, wait.
Just moved over to the other side.
Yeah.
Hey, Kristen, I think you tried to unmute me. Maybe.
No, I unmuted Rhonda.
Yeah.
She's not on mute anymore.
He just texted me saying, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That works.
All right. Very good. And would everybody stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Yep, Kim's got her flag out there for us.
You go, girl.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
That worked out great. All right. We're going to move on to communication. And Mitch and Nick, if you wouldn't mind giving the board an update on this new contract.
Certainly, I can lead out, and Nick, you can kind of fill in the blanks. Well, Francis Gay, who was one of the previous three that had submitted his offer, after we came back with those very clear bullet points with regard to what would constitute an offer worthy of consideration, not an acceptable offer, but the minimum terms, he obviously came back and met those, and actually tightened those up a little bit with regard to the minimum timeline, and is serious. The conversation we had with him was that he's not looking to immediately develop the property. He's got other projects going on. One is the apartment project, just 2 blocks to the west of you, over on Elizabeth. And he just wanted to make sure that he had inventory in place for his next project because he's committed to Elizabeth. And he's also got a couple of lots under contract out at Wild Point next to Walmart. So very serious developer with serious intent, and he just decided that, you know what, I'll step up and I'll secure the property, and I'll meet your minimum. So, and I don't know, Nick, if you want to add some flavor to that, you're welcome to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say he hit the nail on the head. He, I don't think there's any much kind of diligence done. He's just trying to secure his next project when it gets around to it. So, very serious, came up with the minimum terms, and I've got full confidence that he be able to perform close.
Okay. Is he familiar with, I'm sure he is, familiar with the town of Elizabeth and kind of their expectations around the property and that kind of thing?
He is. We were very detailed with him because once we learn something about the property, then we've got an obligation to disclose that. And although that was discovered by Gene Gregory, as soon as we know that what somebody's learned about the property, whether it's the seller or a consultant or an engineer or a previous buyer, we have knowledge. And so it's not like we can withhold that. It's like brought up to speed with the fact that, you know, the historic building, the original building, that it's the town's historic, I can't remember, it's not a historic society, Beach, what do they call that? Come on, work with me.
I didn't say it was the historic district, but
yeah,
in any case, might be an association.
What'd you say, Douglas?
I think it might be called association.
Okay. That it remain and be restored if at all possible, and that, you know, they would be, you know, in their good favor if you did. So we explained that to them, and the fact that it's going to need a new roof, it's going to need a new sewer line, it's got asbestos in it, and it's going to need a sprinkler system. So he's fully aware of all that, and understands that when it does come time to develop the whole property, and that building in particular, that those would be things he's going to run into. And he understood. He's like, you know what, I'll take my chances, because it's not like you can find another property like that. And over time, it might take him a year or so to work through his other projects. That site's going to mature a little bit more. And, you know, even though he's paying more than he really wanted to, because he kind of got hung up at the 650 mark. And I just called him the other night and said, look, if you want this property, you know, because we continue to get calls on it, we're going to continue to show it. But if you want this property, you know, your opportunity is pretty much defined. You know what numbers you. So he turned around and said, okay, fine, write it up, I'm on my way down. And so he drove down and signed off on it. So he's pretty intense. And we've known Francis for a while, and to see him perform like that is a good thing. So.
All
right.
Questions from the board?
Him. Is this the only offer that's on the table right now?
No, it's not, and that is one of the things that I would bring up to you folks. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm cutting and pasting everybody's email address off of this Zoom invite, and I'm just trying to make sure I got everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I think that's correct. At any rate, so I got a call this afternoon, as a matter of fact, from Tim Kraft. Tim Kraft is the developer of the Independence project up on Hilltop, and what is that? Well, basically right on the county line. I think y'all are familiar with the Independence project. And so Tim, obviously, also a qualified and competent developer in Elbert County. He's interested in acquiring the property so that he's got not only a place to set up an Elbert County office, but also to have a future project. And but he hasn't done much diligence on it. I spent some time on the phone explaining to him a lot of the different things that we've learned, and, you know, including the preference by the Historical Association to preserve the older building, and some other requirements, you know, to get that thing redeveloped. And I said, but look, you know, we've already got an offer in based on the previous minimum terms and conditions that were presented to us by the board and voted on. And from somebody who had another offer in and realized he had to come up, and he has. And I said, and we've got a board meeting tonight, and that's the only contract, the only offer for them to consider at this point. If you would like to submit an offer, it can be either in the form of a letter of intent or in a full contract, or even if you just want to send an email to me. And I'm getting ready to forward that right now. I'm not sure I got this right. Well, if I miss somebody, you'll tell me. I think I got them all. At any rate, and Nick, I did not include you on that because I'm cutting and pasting email address while I'm talking. But anyway, so he's coming in and saying that, hey, I'll pay $900 for the property with a $50,000 earnest money deposit. But I need 45 days of due diligence because he wants to do a phase one environmental on the property. And then it would close 60 days after that. So that's 105 days to closing, and he would increase his earnest money deposit by $25,000 to make that $75,000 at the end of the 45-day period. So, last-minute, out-of-the-blue offer that, you know, effectively resulted from him calling me just a couple hours ago, and he sent this offer in at, what, 5:05. So, that being said, you know, my obligation is to present all offers, and I don't care if they come in at the last minute or not, for your consideration, and provide you as much background and direction as I can.
Thank you, Mitch. I would like to make one clarification regarding something that you said very quickly, but just for the record. The board has discussed minimum terms. Individuals have shared those. And Ron and I, as senior administrators, kind of acting on behalf of the board in this transaction, the board did not vote on any kind of minimum. The board has only taken votes to either accept an offer or to present a counter offer. So I wanted to clarify that.
So understood. And the way that we presented that was that it was the board's decision that they would consider offers above those minimums. And so our position there is to discourage anybody from presenting any more offers below the minimum, because the way we presented that is that we'll present all offers, but if they're below these minimums, you may not even get a response. And so I think that was fairly presented, based on our last meeting, because that's what a part of that was, is establishing the bare minimums of anything that would even be considered. So in representing that to Mr. Gay, that's what he took into consideration in meeting those minimums. And that was the same exact way that it was presented to Mr. Kraft. And then he turned right around this afternoon and sent over what he did. And I just forwarded that off to everybody. I don't know if it's hit your inboxes or not. Hopefully it has. But if not, you can take those notes pursuant to what I just said. And then his purchase price, that's $900, with a $50,000 earnest money deposit. 45-day inspection or due diligence DD period, as he indicated in his email. But then a closing 60 days thereafter, and he would add 25 to the earnest money deposit at that 45-day mark. So, like I said, qualified developer, I have no doubt that he's serious, because he wouldn't have turned around and submitted an offer that strong in that short of a time period. But I'm open for discussions on this. Nick and I have kind of discussed how it is that we would perceive this, but there again, it's up to you folks to determine how you want to respond, or certainly up to us to answer any questions for your consideration.
Mitch, I don't have that in my email.
Okay. And forgive me.
I got it, Carrie. Do you want me to send it to you?
Would you mind?
Sure. I have a question. So based off of kind of these last minute things, out of curiosity, is there any other interest withstanding out there that you've heard, either directly or indirectly, that could be coming down the pipeline, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I'll let Nick speak to that, because he was actually, weren't you out at the school today showing the property?
Indeed I was. The buyer had interest. If that's kind of where I left it with him, if he said he's interested, let me know kind of what happens with the board tonight. But he wouldn't be able to perform that quickly as far as the 30-day close.
Right. And by establishing that 30-day close, we pretty much tighten that up to where it's like, do your inspection, do your diligence, and then come to the table. So with that being said, yeah, there's been additional interest. And I think we had one other interested party that had us send him information. I mean, our job, folks, just so that you know, is that until the property is sold, even if it's under contract, we continue to send out the brochures, let people know the status of it. If it's under contract, we let them know, but we still send them the information. We don't stop marketing until it's closed, period. So that's our job. But nonetheless, some of that interest, like Nick just said, is like, oh, well, there's no way I can perform that quickly, which is good, because you kind of weed out those folks who would put it under contract and do just like we've had done to us already before. Spend a bunch of time only to find out that, they want to either pay us less or drag it out. So, but I don't know, there was one other party, I think, Nick, that you had spoken to, or no?
Yeah, I just spoke to him briefly. I'm trying to draw a blank on his name. Don.
Oh, the guy.
Don. He and sold those off, and he said he would be interested and would like to see it, and I just told him kind of, I'm not going to go show it to you today. He called me at like noon, and I just said, I'll let you know how things go with the board side, and then have you show it to you down the road.
clarification. When does the earnest money go unrefundable on this current offer, the Francis Gay, and then the closing is when after that?
It would go hard in 21 days, and then close 9 days thereafter.
So 30 days?
Yeah, so 3 weeks and then 4 weeks. So in 3 weeks,
no, 3 weeks and then 1 week.
Right. Yeah, so I'm saying 3 weeks and then, 4 weeks total. So 3 weeks for due diligence, and then the earnest money goes non-refundable, and then he closes 1 week thereafter. So it's 21 days diligence, 30 days total close.
Thank you.
And his earnest money is a little bit stronger as of 55 mark, which was the original amount of his previous offer.
Yeah, the other thing that's very appealing is he's not going into the due diligence. He's not seeking approval. He's not seeking a result. He is just looking to secure inventory for himself.
And only if they're welcome, we can provide some additional comments with regard to how it is we might want to consider or approach these offers.
I'd like to hear that, Mitch.
So the way that we look at it is that, this is a persistent buyer. We're talking about Mr. Gay at this point. He's a persistent buyer who's met the terms and conditions. He's intent on performing and securing the inventory, and he's already active in the Melissa market, which is, well, so is Mr. Kraft. But to speak to Mr. Gay's offer, we've got a bird in hand. We kind of know exactly what it is that we've got here, and within a three-week period, we're going to have $55,000 that's non-refundable, and then, potentially in 30 days, the property's gone, and we've got $750,000. So that's kind of the bird in hand component. Insurance for $150,000 less than what Mr. Kraft is proposing. So in this case, we've already got somebody who's demonstrated that they're persistent, and they've hung with it, and they've come back and put their money where their mouth is, et cetera. Then we'll know in 3 weeks when his earnest money either goes non-refundable or definitely he doesn't if he pulls the plug. And then, like I said, a week thereafter, it's closed. So I don't see where we've got a whole lot to lose because under Mr. Gay's contract, we're getting what it is that we agreed would be the minimum. And we're getting it basically on our terms as far as a 30-day closing. And the earnest money's decent. So even at the three-week mark, if for some reason he decided not to show up at closing, we've got a decent payment in consideration for having it off the market for or under contract for those 3 weeks. In the event that for some reason Mr. Gay's deal crashes, which is the term we use, if he fails to close, then we can always go back to some of these other folks who are going to have offers that obviously are going to contain longer due diligence periods and protracted closing periods, which also during those due diligence periods run the same risk as we've had before, and that is that somebody's phase one environmental test or somebody's additional due diligence or asbestos inspection causes them to come back and want to retrade us and either drop the price below what it is they've offered to $900 in Mr. Kraft's case or who knows what another offer would be. To come back during that due diligence period and say, hey, here's what I learned, and I can't pay you that amount. And we've been through that drill. So I'm not seeing where there's a whole lot of risk involved in running with Mr. Gay's contract, because we'll know in 30 days or not whether we're done or whether we've got to pursue one of these other offers that is going to take a little bit longer to get through.
And Mr. Gay's is the one who... It's the $750,000, correct? I just want to clarify that.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. He's the one who presents the full blown.
Okay. Well, I just want to throw this out there that I feel like the downside to that is we could be leaving $150,000 on the table from walking away from the other deal. I just want to throw that out there.
Hypothetically, that is correct. That other deal is contingent upon a lot more hurdles than so far. Both buyers who we've gotten under contract for a higher number have come back at some point being under contract looking to get it for a lower price. So there's also risk there.
Right.
Is there a possibility to
have heard it.
We can certainly do whatever it is that the board directs. I mean, my concern there is that we probably lose him because he came in at, what, 550, and then he said, okay, I'd probably go as high as 650. When I called him and said, you know, if you seriously want it, then meet the minimum. And he was obedient. And then to come back to him and say, okay, understood, we told you that only offers at or above 750 would be considered. Your offer has been considered, and it's been countered. And so here's the board's counter. We can certainly take that approach. We'll do exactly as instructed, just as before. It's just a question of whether he's like, okay, well, I thought the deal could get done at 750. Well, no, that's not what we presented. What we said was that only offers at 750 would be considered, and it has been considered, and here's their response. So we can certainly take that approach if that's what you like. He may just say, okay, well, that's enough, and be gone, in which case, then, yeah, we can definitely pursue the other offers and see where those go. The next point, you know, on the offer with Mr. Kraft, and it would most likely be the case with any other offer, we'd be looking at an inspection period wherein we've seen before and say that, okay, based on, you know, what I've learned, you know, my $900,000 offer, I can't stand behind that anymore. I need to come down. And at which point we can say, okay, well, don't bother coming down below 750 or you're out of the game. So at the end of the day, sure, we could be leaving 150 on the table, or we could be taking a little bit longer road right back to that same 750. There is a risk there.
The other thing I want to add to Tim's offer is he hasn't been inside the school. He hasn't set up a showing. He did not present a contract. He didn't even present that one. Shot over and he met. So, it's not necessarily we can take his offer without working. I imagine if we were to say we want to go with Tim, he's still going to have to prepare a purchase contract. He's probably going to want to get inside the school before he prepares a purchase contract. He kind of just sent over an email trying to get his arms around it.
Well, he's kind of put his foot in the door. And I've known Tim for years, and I know his project. And I know that he'd like to have an office or have another opportunity. So he definitely, you know, put his foot in the door, which is good. But by the same token, if the Francis K deal doesn't make it to the finish line, I think Tim's still going to be there. Then it's just a question whether that's the route we want to take. But there again, not trying to influence your decision as much as kind of trying to balance out what the benefit is as opposed to the risk. You know, there's a short period with Francis' contract with a known number, no contingency. He's basically got 3 weeks, and then either he's going to put up his earnest money allow his earnest money to become non-refundable, and then the routine game at closing with $55,000 out of his pocket. And if for some reason he fails to allow that $55,000 to go non-refundable and wants to terminate the contract, we're only off the pace by 3 weeks with any other potential buyer, including Mr. Kraft.
Sorry about that. I have too many phones. So, what are some other thoughts? Anybody like Craig, Ron, Douglas? Any thoughts? Or more questions, I guess?
That's the thing. I think I feel like I have more questions than concrete information right now. You know, having the one come up at the last minute kind of muddies the water a little bit. So I don't know what to do with that.
You know, it's certainly enough to raise your eyebrows, right? Enough of a difference in the offer. But I do have a little bit of a apprehension or concern that we might run into the same issue that we did on the the last offer that was withdrawn after they did see and inspect the property, and the 750 really is our original price, asking price, less what that projected expense would be, for the roof and the, I think, right, for the roof and the, for the, no, no.
No, no. So,
the appraisal.
So the appraisal came in, Carrie, right at 750. So this offer is right at 750. However, I just have in the back of my mind kind of one of those things that how do you leave $150,000 on the table? But I don't think it's as sure a thing as what the offer we're considering tonight. And so that's my concern. There, it's a tough situation. You're darned if you do and darned if you don't. And so,
yeah,
and kind of
next beach, it's like, well, they kind of muddied the waters and, you know, threw a stick in the spoke, and now what? But to your point, Ron, it's like the 150, is it still going to be there? Or is it going to be subject to being, you know, swept off after somebody actually gets in the building? And to speak to the next point, yeah, somebody throw an offer in at the last minute like this, who hasn't set foot on the property? I don't know, but, you know, there again, it's the board's decision to either consider that, you know what, if that 150 may be there, it may be worth taking that risk, or who knows if that 150 is going to be there because the guy doesn't know anything about the property.
What's that guy who offered the 950 though told about the asbestos and the roof and all of that?
Yes, ma'am. And it's 900, and so he, I explained to him in detail this afternoon. Like I said, everything that I've learned, including the preference for preservation of the old building and all the associated expenses.
I wanted to add to what Ron said about the 750. That's a net number because it was valued at more and then discounted, right, Ron, because of the work that was needed.
Yeah, he actually did. Yeah, when he was doing the appraisal, it was a higher number than he did factor in any demolition costs or any upgrading costs. That was factored in. That's how we arrived at the 750.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. I just felt that was an important reminder for the board because what we're seeing from these offers is the realization that there is some costs incurred for them beyond, say, just a clean property that doesn't need mitigation, I guess.
And the other thing I'm going to add here is with the Francis offer, we can hypothetically sign that tonight, and today is day one of being under contract. With the Tin Craft, it's an email. There's still going to have to be the time where he's going to have to prepare a purchase contract, assuming he's going to be the one drafting it. Well, we might have some revisions, so there's some back and forth there. We'll probably even lose a week or two there as well, and just probably want to get into the score and see it.
I'd say it'd take us at least a couple of weeks to get under contract.
Exactly. So there's 2 weeks. So 2 weeks we could have been under contract with Francis, and we'd be pretty much looking at a week difference from when his earnest would be earned.
No, and then there's the final option, and that is if we could come back to Tim Craft and say, the board's willing to accept your offer in a backup position. And that is to go ahead and draft your contract, put all those conditions in it, and we'll accept that as a backup offer. And in the event that the Francis Gay contract fails, or if he fails to proceed past due diligence here in 3 weeks, then your contract automatically will kick in. So it puts him in second position, and it gives the second bird in hand in case the first one flies away or dies. And then it allows him to go ahead and get started on the contract. And instead of losing 3 weeks before we go under contract with him, he's working on that. And then we get the contract done, and it sits in a backup position. And if Francis blinks, then we're automatically under contract for the larger number, but with the longer due diligence period and the protracted closing of about 105 days. So there is that option if he's willing to do that. Some buyers don't like to go into a backup position. Other buyers are glad to.
just to add, you asked what we thought, Carrie, and you know, we've seen an offer for 800 get pulled last minute. We've seen an offer for 1.1 get pulled. As we've been told by our agents here, this is a serious developer with a serious offer. It is a relatively quick close, which was something the board indicated they were interested in. It's at the appraisal. I should say I probably know nothing about commercial real estate, but I know that the real estate market is not by any means a predictable market. You know, it's a dynamic market. And I personally think there's value to a serious offer that meets minimum conditions.
Yeah. And I think I agree with you, Douglas. And we have had two offers pulled now, and I think this is a serious offer. And all right, any other comments? I will.
I meant to make sure, Rhonda, if you wanted to say anything, or Kim, anything.
So Rhonda's having a hard time being unmuted, and just letting y'all know. So, I asked her to say anything.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, we can.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Note to self, don't call in. I tend to think that we have a bird in hand. We could very easily be pulled back to the 750 mark anyway. So that's where I'm leaning.
What does that mean, though?
Like, that means that, in my opinion, I think that we should go with the offer that we have on the table with a buyer who can close in a quick amount of time.
I just wanted to point out, Ms. Heather, I just wanted to point out that all the things we're worried about with the offer for the 900 is kind of a moot point, because he already knows about the volatile situation that's in place with the asbestos and everything else. He is obviously a very serious buyer. He's a builder who builds large communities and such. And, our whole thing with the person backing out in the past was, I believe, and I could be wrong, before they knew the situation, which was the roof and everything else. Well, this guy knows going into it, you got issues, and he's still interested in wanting to offer. So we have to decide if waiting an extra, is that 30 days, 45 days, is worth the possibility of getting an extra $150,000 for our school, which in most schools, probably not a big deal. But for Elizabeth, that's a huge deal. That's a huge amount of money. That could be literally paying three teachers. That could be putting in, you know, just a huge amount of money to take the possibility to get it.
Had a developer who had walked through the building and had inspections and dropped it down to 5.
That was after inspections, though.
Yeah, after inspections. So this guy's offering 9, and he hasn't done an inspection.
Yeah, he hasn't, but he knows.
About,
well, so I will chime in on that. So Gene was aware of asbestos, the fact that the old wing was historic going into all of that. It was once he fully dove in, had the crew out there, in fact, more on site. You can hear one thing verbally, but once you're on site, hear the inspectors, you can't get the true numbers, that can change things. And that's trying to steer you guys one way or the other. Tim may very well go through the inspections and be good, but it is also 75 additional days. So it's not just 30 additional days. He's at 105 days compared to 30.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we did verbally relay to him what it is that the other developers had learned.
Which Gene knew as well, verbally.
But yeah, right back to this thing, Jessica.
Now, this Francis, he has actually walked through the building, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So he knows what he's in for.
Yeah, and he's not contingent upon the inspection. He's got a lot going on. I have a very, very high confidence in Francis closing. It's a 1031 for him. It's my understanding he's not identified as a property. He looks at this as a long-term investment and a long-term project to keep him busy down the road.
And I'd like to add that the appraisal did include some of the things that needed to be done for the building. And because I haven't, you know, been with the the folks that have been making the offers, I don't know how well they stack up, but it's not as if the original offer or Gene, as has been mentioned today, were not aware of mitigation costs associated with the purchase.
That's exact.
Right. Is that fair to say, Mitch and Nick?
That's what drove Francis's initial offer, and he came in at 550 because he knew well everything that we shared from him or with him that we had learned from Gene. So that's why he came in at the same 550, and Gene was at 500, and Francis was at 550. So that 550 factored in all of the mitigation and the additional development expenses. So if he knew that it's going to cost him, and all he was willing to pay is 550. He still knows everything it's going to cost him, and he's raised his price by 200. So it's not like he's going to come back and say, oh, I've learned even more than I did before, and that 750 is not going to hold. And, you know, like I said, we'll know in 3 weeks, but I don't even think he's going to go back out there and go through the building again. He's just going to show up at closing. Because, Nick, what, you spent half a day out there, I think, with going through the building.
Well, I didn't quite that much. I spent probably a good hour and a half on site.
You were gone for a half a day.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind.
Tonic.
Golf club. Spring Valley.
Yep. Hey, just had a question. Do we know why Tim Kraft has shown the interest now? I mean, if he's been a developer here in Elizabeth for a while, and especially over at Independence, why now is he showing interest and sending that email that he's interested? I mean, does he know that there was a possibility of maybe beforehand that we were meeting tonight, and now he's like, oh, I don't want to let this go? Or
yes, ma'am. That's exactly it. And I just posed that to him this evening or this afternoon when he called that, hey, there is an offer at or above the board minimum, and it is going to be presented to the board tonight. So, you know, now my job, the same way I explained to you, is to present all offers. So if you'd like to get me something, Tim, I understand that a letter of intent or a full-blown contract might not be possible, but an email stating what it is that you'd be willing to offer is still considered an offer and still something that I'm obligated to present, which I've done. But I did indicate to him that, hey, we're going to be meeting this evening to consider the only offer on the table at this point is at or above the minimum. That's what we're up against. So, and I did, and like I said, I explained everything else that we've learned about the property. But I think that one of the reasons why Tim is interested is because what he disclosed to me is two things. One, he learned that the property was back on the market from an earlier discussion, from what I understand, with Douglas. And then two, last week, I met with Tim's people to walk through an existing home that hasn't been occupied for 2 or 3 years. It sits up on Singing Hills and Delbert Road, right there on the southeast corner of Singing Hills, Delbert Road. And Delbert Road is getting ready to punch down through there to Independence, which is Tim's project. And, you know, I've been working with Tim for the last 6 or 8 months because I represent that property. And as Delbert Road comes up alongside that property, there's a certain amount of that that needs to get dedicated to the Metro District, which Tim runs, that's building that road. And so we've been going back and forth on that right-of-way dedication, et cetera. Well, his interest in buying that property is so that he can put an office in that home. And so he had three of his people out there with me going through that home, room by room, seeing what it would take to convert that to an office. So he office is downtown, Denver, and so what he's looking for is a field office. And so that's why in my conversation with him this afternoon, he's like, okay, well, what part of that building could I use instantly as an office? I said, I don't think you'd have any trouble using the newer portion as an office. I said, but you're going to have to check off down at Elizabeth, because any kind of occupation outside that use of, as a school is probably going to trigger, a code upgrade. I said, but I can't tell you. I said, but as far as being able to occupy some portion of that for an office purpose, I would say use the newer portion, because I know that the older portion is immediately going to require some improvements before you can occupy that. I said, but still, I don't want to give you any. He said, all right, well, I'll figure that out during diligence. So I know that his primary intent is to secure an office location in Elizabeth. Or, what comes?
You cut out. You there, Mitch? Mitch, I think you cut out. There you go. Mitch?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No? Okay.
So, at any rate, his primary intent was to secure an office location in close proximity to the Independence Project.
And Kim, I was at the Elbert County Economic Development Council meeting yesterday in Kiowa. There were probably 25 people attending that meeting in the commissioner's meeting room. Government officials and businesses in Elbert County. Tim attended that meeting. He also attended the December meeting. Mitch also attended the December meeting of the Economic Development Council. Informally at the end of the meeting, Tim asked how Frontier was going. I think he had seen that that the offer had not gone through. I told him that the district had a new offer and that was considering that offer this evening. And if he wanted to discuss it more, he should call Trevi Commercial Real Estate.
And yep, said, you bet.
So.
Well, any other questions or comments?
Would it work if we went back and counteroffered with Francis Gay and told him that another offer came in on the table half hour before, well, kind of an offer since it was an email, came in half hour before a meeting, and the board wants to consider his, but, I mean, we're obviously being recorded, but, I mean, is it okay to say that they came in at 900 and said we would like to, I mean, since he's only a 30-day or a 4-week close, basically, is that something that we could kind of barter with him a little bit and say, hey, is it possible, for 800 or 8.25 or something like that? And then, because a 900,000 makes, and I know that's 105 days out, but, I mean, that is a lot of money just to pass away, and give up on. I mean, is it something that we could kind of like negotiate in between with Francis A and just say, hey, listen, could we counteroffer this? And then, and what if he came back and said no? I mean, then we have that option to say, okay, we can make our choice at that moment of what we wanted to do. But at least we could have an option of a 4-week turnaround versus a 105-day turnaround and get a little bit more off of it for our schools.
It's not a bad idea.
What's that, Rhonda?
I said that's definitely not a bad idea. At least give him the opportunity to up his ante a little bit.
And I think I'll tell you, I go back and forth because I hear what Mitch and Nick are saying about, what do we risk?
Yeah.
By going back to Mr. Gay and saying, we have a
higher, and we'd like to bring a counter back to you at X dollar amount. But, you know, again, there's that risk that when the Tim goes through the building and he does the inspections, it's one thing, I think, I don't know who said it, probably Mitch, but, you know, you can talk all day about, you know, well, this is what it looks like. But until you go through it and actually, you know, make that decision. And then he just said if Tim is looking for an office and they were looking at that house on Delbert and Singing Hills is significantly smaller than the high school property, obviously, Frontier. And so, and what would he have to do, I don't know, to the house and that kind of thing. I don't know. This is...
I just want to say something to that is an old saying, you never get the money you don't ask for. So at the very least, I say we counter because the answer will always be no if you don't ask for it. So what is he going to pick up his toys and walk away because we ask for more money? I mean,
possibly.
I know a previous deal, and you can speak to this, but Francis was telling us, I don't know, 2 months ago when we're working on something else about that deal on Long's Way. He submitted an offer, they told him no, came back to him 2 weeks later, told him that Sadie's offer, and then he said he offered them, what, $100,000 less or something?
Yeah, I mean, he's not like...
I need to interject something here. Can I interject something really quick? Douglas, Carrie, I don't know, but I'm thinking we need to probably go into executive session if we're going to keep talking about this. It's just for my own thinking here. Just what are your thoughts? You might want to consider that.
Yeah, I Douglas's picture disappeared. Are you there, Douglas?
Yes, I am here.
All right. Did you hear Ron's question? Should we go to discuss this at the level of detail that we are right now, should we go into executive session?
No, I don't, because I think you're bordering on decision making, and you can't do that in executive session. And I think transparency is you know, I get why Ron's saying that, but I think at this point, you know, the risk is you go into executive session, you come out of it, and the public, the buyers, whoever, has the perception that you made a decision behind closed doors, you know, and this is the kind of, you know, dialogue and debate. You know, you have an action item on your agenda. I think, you know, when you're done discussing, it would be appropriate for Carrie to read the resolution and then ask if there's a motion regarding the resolution. You can vote to approve, you can make a motion to approve it, you can make a motion to table it, you can make a motion to not approve the resolution. And then if you want to take some different action, you'd have to also make a motion to amend the agenda to consider another action. So, you know, if that action was to, for example, you don't really have another offer to accept. So, but if there was, if board members had another action that you want to consider, you'd have to take two steps. Make a motion to add it to the agenda and then take whatever action that is. So, Ron, I get what you're saying, but I think that there what more is going to be said than's already been said.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. Well, then
just to be clear, everybody should know that this is not only a public meeting, but this is being live audio. So, any of the people that are being mentioned here could very well be listening to this meeting. So, don't forget that.
Yep. All right, I'm going to move, if there are no other comments or questions, I'm going to move to the action item. And before I ask for a motion, I will read the resolution. So, any other questions, comments?
Nope.
Okay.
Wait,
All right. You will have the opportunity after a motion has been made to have more discussion. Right. So.
On the resolution.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, and if for some reason you would, after hearing it, I mean it was in your packet, but after hearing it, you wanted to revise it, then you have to procedurally say, you know, this is a friendly amendment, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to start. And I left my reading glasses in the office, so bear with me. But I think I can see it pretty good. Elizabeth School District Resolution. Whereas Elizabeth School District is the owner of the real property located in Elber County, and more particularly described as follows. And Section 18 Township, 8 Range 64 Subdivision, Elizabeth Phillips, Additional Block 22, Lots 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, Block 18, Lots 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, Block 23, Lots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Block 26, Lots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Block 27, alleys in the blocks 22 and 23, 5.18A or 213888 square feet, real property, and whereas pursuant to CRS 22-32-1101E, the Board of Education of the school district hereby determines that the real property will not be needed within the foreseeable future for any purpose authorized by law and therefore may be conveyed, and whereas the Board of Education desires to convey the real property to Francis Gay and or assigns for the purchase price of $750,000 and subject to the terms and conditions set forth in the contract to buy and sale real estate commercial dated March 18, 2022, the purchase contract. Now, therefore, be it resolved, one, that the Board of Education hereby determines that the real property will not be needed within the foreseeable future for any purpose authorized by law and therefore or may be sold and conveyed to Francis Gay and or assigns. Two, that the Board of Education hereby approves and ratifies the purchase contract and authorizes and directs the Board President or the Superintendent of Schools, the authorized signers, to execute all other agreements, instruments, and documents required in connection therewith, and to take all other action on behalf of the school district as may be deemed necessary to give effect to the conveyance of the real property. Three, all action heretofore taken, not inconsistent with the provisions of this resolution, by the Board of Education, its officers and agents directed toward the conveyance of the real property is hereby ratified, approved, and confirmed. If any section, paragraph, clause, or provision of this resolution shall for any reason be held to be invalid or unenforceable, the invalidity or unenforceability of such section, paragraph, clause, or provision shall not affect any of the remaining provisions of this resolution. Five, as a condition of acceptance of the contract to buy and sell, the Board of Directors and Elizabeth School District of Elizabeth School District shall authorize the President of the Board to sign any land use applications or permit applications submitted by the buyer to the Town of Elizabeth, Elber County, or any other governmental agency in buyer's pursuit of approvals for buyer's intended use of property. Such signature by the president shall not constitute Elizabeth School District or Board of Directors support, endorsement, or participation in any such potential use. And the Elizabeth School District and the Board of Directors shall be indemnified from any liability created by such action. Right. That was it. And do I have a motion to consider consideration of resolution to declare property surplus and authorizing conveyance pursuant to contract to buy and sell real estate.
Can I ask you a question? Let's go fast. So, Douglas, you said that we can so move this resolution and then still have discussion on this, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So you made a motion, Kim?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as I have discussion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, that was Rhonda. Okay. All right, discussion.
I would like to counter on this.
Second that.
Okay. So what would you like to counter at?
I would like to counter at 8:25. Can I explain why, or am I?
Yes.
I feel like, and no disrespect to you guys out there, Mitch and all, but I feel like maybe the 750 came in because they felt like, hey, why would I go above their minimum of what they want? So I'd like to see, and obviously with another offer on the table, I'd like to counter offer, give this the option to Francis Gay, and just tell him that. I mean, he'll know that we had another offer come in on the table a half hour beforehand. We would like to counter, and we would like him to pursue the counter. I guess is the word. Does that make sense? Does anybody have comments?
Rhonda, did you have a comment?
No, uh-uh. Not yet.
I agree with
Tim on this. If this, I just have to look at this. If this was my house I was selling, what would you do? So take it away from that. Is, you know what, with the market in Elizabeth and Colorado, it will sell. Yes, we might be on a hook for a little bit longer, but I just feel like $750 is just a screaming deal. And I personally, I would wait for the 900, but I'm willing to counter it with 825. That seems very reasonable to me. That's my two cents.
Okay. All right.
Myself, I'm still concerned about losing a buyer and being back in the same boat and ending up at the 750 anyway.
Craig, any comments?
I've been thinking lately. We're kind of got wrapped around the minimums at the retreat, and I got to tell you, I look at this, and at the other end, the developer has the potential of making a lot of money out of this, and so I don't even think we're really squeezing them to ask for an 825. On the other end of things, they could stand to make a lot of money off of this, so. I'm kind of okay with kind of stretching our limits a little bit, pushing to find out what we can get out of it.
So is that on the counter, or is that not even going with this resolution?
No, that's going with the counter.
Yeah. All right. Douglas, are you procedurally then, where do I take this? Do I take it to a vote? Do we do a motion to
you have
table?
A motion, so you have to vote on the motion.
Okay, we have the motion in right now, and we vote on the motion.
And that's for the 750, correct?
Right, that's correct. That's the motion, existing 750. All right, so roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Nay.
Director Booth?
No.
Director Frumfeller?
No.
Director Karcher?
No.
Director Olson?
Yes. That's my gut's telling me.
Motion does not carry.
What's that?
The motion does not carry.
Yeah, the motion does not carry. And, all right. I'm not sure what I do next, Douglas.
Yeah, the meeting agenda is over.
Okay, all right.
So, I would say if you want to amend the agenda, I believe you could do that. But I think it would only be for discussion, meaning
right.
to amend the agenda to take any other kind of action right now, I would advise against.
Yeah.
Can we not amend it to counter?
No, I don't recommend. I don't know what the limits are.
Okay.
But when you're talking about a serious real estate transaction, I believe that you have an obligation to the public to inform them of the actions that you're intending to consider. And by changing the agenda now to add an action item, would have provided the public, and that would include any potential buyers, the opportunity to know that you are going to take some action.
All right.
Yep. But I do think if you wanted to have a discussion, you just need to amend the agenda to add a discussion item to discuss real estate transaction, and then you could continue talking.
But Douglas, with that, in that discussion, we cannot come up with a definitive response. It seems to me like we're going to have an additional special meeting to discuss and kind of vote on how we'd like to counter. Is that correct?
I don't know. I think that at this point, I'd like to speak with our legal counsel. I mean, the board did talk about a number of individuals talked about having an interest in a counteroffer of, you know, 825, but, you know, this is not something administratively that we do on a regular basis or at all. So I think I'd want to just touch with legal counsel to see if our real estate agents mentioned, Nick, if you could, you know, how you would be directed to take your next step.
Right.
I mean, of course, you can report to Francis what happened tonight, right, and everything there.
That's public record anyway.
That's right.
Right.
That's all there. So whether we would, you know, the board would need a special meeting to formally take action on a counteroffer, that's what we did before with the first offer.
Right.
And so I think that's probably what would need to happen again.
Okay.
Well, since it is public record, obviously, you know, if Francis was listening in or if he wanted to play this back or access the minutes, he'd understand that his $750,000 offer, you know, by motion was declined. But he would also hear that there was a conversation saying that, hey, we would like to counter. So even in the absence of any further board action, if Francis, based on that public information, was to resubmit another offer at that 825 and present that to the board, then you could call another board meeting and treat that as just a brand new offer coming in without having to you know, consult with legal and say, okay, how do we want to counter? By the fact that the discussion is out there and open, it's obvious now what it is that you would like to see from Francis. So if he prepares and delivers that offer, then of course you can create another new motion and vote on whether you want to accept that. I mean, default, it's out there.
Yeah, you have the great hypothetical, but let's say Frank is not willing to come up to that 825. I think regardless of board, we're going to have to prepare to probably have another special meeting to discuss how we like to counter definitively.
Right. Well, right now, our job is to deliver the message that the $750,000 offer was declined. That's what I'm interpreting. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, and I agree with what you just said, Mitch, and what you said before. I think that, you know, if the school district received an offer from Francis or from anybody tomorrow. I mean, we don't, as far as I understand, we don't have an offer above $750,000 on the table. I mean, we have an email. I don't know that we would ever consider an email an offer.
Right.
So,
legally binding offer.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I was saying it's not a legally binding offer by any means.
Right.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not even in letters of intent or legally binding either. But, you know, like I said, it's my job to present all offers. And that's all I told Tim, was that I will deliver this to the board for discussion and consideration. And that's it. Not to, you know, accept or decline an offer. It's for discussion and consideration. But that being said, we can deliver the message back to Francis. Much the same way I can come back to Tim and say, Tim, the offer that was on the table and presented to the board was declined. Feel free to draft a contract and submit that for the board's consideration.
I agree. And that's, I think, you know, that's the simplest way procedurally, given government entity and all this back and forth. So,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. And all of this is daylighted, so it's not like any of this discussion or the numbers or even the intent or the board's intent or preference to counter Francis is not public record. So that being said, we can even share with Francis much the same way that Tim could access that and say, hey, well, I'm just going to drop my offer to 825. I don't think there's any obligation to share any more information necessary with anybody. But by the same token, if Francis wants to come, because he's going to ask, he's going to say, all right, well, did they say what they would accept or whatever? Then it's like, okay, we'll go read the minutes, Francis, or we can just tell them, hey, there was an open discussion with regard to a counter at 825. If you'd like to present an offer at that level, then we would also present that for consideration. It's not our job to say what would be accepted. We can't
speak that. I think that's kind of the thing. There was a discussion of 825.
Right.
There was no indication that would be acceptable. So hypothetically, if Frank were to say, okay, we'll discuss 825, we'll come back at 775, we still have to present that offer for that.
Exactly. So I think that, yeah, without kept dancing around, you know, disclosure rules, I think there's enough out there for a based on this conversation, this board meeting, that we can encourage both of those guys to put their best foot forward and just leave it at that.
And for your information, the audio recording of this meeting, it always gets uploaded within 24 hours. Typically, it's the next day, typically before noon. That's not a promise, but I'm seeing Kristen's head nodding. Usually she puts it. So it should be available for the public sometime. Probably early day, the audio recording. And it's pretty user-friendly, so you can, you know, move the listening bar around to the sections that are of interest. Right,
there you go, Kristen?
Yeah, so it's an hour and 15-minute meeting. You can move around to hear the parts you're interested in. So it's,
there you go.
There you go.
All right. Ben, this meeting is, it is 6:44 p.m., and this meeting is adjourned.